Could you grab your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, your laptop, whatever you got? If you believe it, let's say together, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Matthew? I'm only going to take a few minutes this morning. I won't get into things really long today. We'll finish it off next week. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. We've been looking at it for the last number of weeks. I want to begin in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And he says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for the words that Jesus spoke before he left. Words that had incredible impact, not only in the disciples, but Father, because it was captured to your children all down through time. I thank you for the promise that you made that you would be with your children. You said, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." I thank you that you have made it so that there is never a time or a moment in our life where we are alone. And I thank you that you are bringing us into a place of revelation, of being aware of that continually, not just sporadic, but continually. Father, I thank you in advance that you have prepared every heart and every mind in this place this morning, even for these few minutes, for what you're going to sow. And before we begin, I again ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, take literal possession of my mind, my mouth, every part of me. I invite you to flow through me today. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic entity that would seek to steal or distort this word. I command you to be silent, and I command you to release each person and be outside the wall of this building now in Jesus' name. I declare this to be holy ground. And Father, I thank you again that when your word goes forth, with it goes the grace to believe it. And so today we declare we are teachable and we will be changed. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. Last week we talked about, for those of you who are here, last number of weeks we've been talking about the promise Jesus made and about the presence of Christ in our life. We looked at four different things. We'll get into more next week. But the first one, we talked about the physical presence when Jesus was on earth. The second is the manifest presence, that when he's gone, we sense and experience his presence. The third one is the real presence, that God is everywhere present at one time, even though we're not aware of it or feel it. It is real, it's constant. And the fourth one is getting to the place where we are constantly aware of God inside of us, God inside-minded, his presence with us continually. I want you to turn with me, and I've got to look at a couple scriptures this morning that I want you to see. God laid us on my heart this week. Would you turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 8? 1 Kings chapter 8. You will know it as we begin talking about it, but I just need to bring clarity to part of what has happened in the church when it comes to the whole area of presence. This is the dedication of the temple, when Solomon built the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 8, or verse 6, it says, "The priest then brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, in the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and overshadowed the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from the outside of the holy place. And they are still there today. And there was nothing in the ark except two stone tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites after they came out of Egypt." Now listen to this, verse 10. "When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." And then it goes on to his prayer. I want you to understand that there are people today who, unless they experience the cloud, unless they experience a manifest presence, they will go, "I did not sense the Lord in the place today." I want to give you a modern day example, and then we'll chat about it for a minute. Last October, almost a year ago now, there was about 35 of us went down to Bethel in California, in Redding, went down and experienced what they call the Open Heaven Conference. All of us are aware of Bethel. All of us are aware of Bethel worship. God has used what they're doing down there, I believe, has touched the church across the globe. We went down, had an opportunity to be in the worship, to be in the teaching. On the Saturday that we were down there, there was a number of us, about 20, went and had what's called an encounter session where they talked about learning how to foster the presence of God and how, when the presence of God shows up, how to linger in that and be a part of that. Bill Johnson, the pastor, did not talk about this at the conference, but in some of his other messages in his book, he talked about a time in Bethel where during a Friday evening worship, all of a sudden, and I want you to picture it, off in the corner, and if you go onto Google, you can see it because they filmed it, off in the corner, all of a sudden, a cloud begins to show up in the sanctuary. And the cloud hovered in the corner. And as people were worshiping, they began to see the cloud. All of a sudden, eyes were open. All of a sudden, people pointing. All of a sudden, I was like, "Whoa, this is just like amazing. This is like awesome. The cloud showed up. The presence of God is here." Worship was finished. Over the next number of months, the cloud showed up about 2 or 3 times. And then it disappeared. Shortly after that, Bill Johnson had to begin preaching messages because his people got to a place where they're going, "We're here looking for the cloud, and unless the cloud shows up, the presence isn't here." They got enraptured by the manifestation of the presence, and they lost sight of the fact that the presence is here, whether the cloud is or not. I want you to understand part of what has seduced the church today, and we talked about it last time. There are people in the church who will be looking. They will go here. They will go there. They are going from church to church, from conference to conference. They are looking for the cloud. And if the cloud doesn't show up, they go, "Well, went to church, didn't experience the presence today. Got to go find another place. Got to go look for the cloud." The seduction has been, unless it manifests, it's not real. Let me tell you where I think part of this begins. Every one of us have looked in the Old Testament. We've seen when the temple was dedicated, and we see that the cloud showed up. And I want to tell you, it must have been amazing, because when the glory cloud showed up, it says it was so thick. If it happened here, I would just have to sit down or lay down on the ground because the priest could not minister. The presence of God was so thick that they could not minister. I don't know how long it lasted. But part of what happened is people go, when the presence of God shows up, this is what it has to be like. It's got to come in the cloud. It's got to be such that you can't stand. It's got to be such that you start shaking. It's got to be such that the pastor can't minister. It's got to be such that you can reach out and touch it. When the presence shows up, it's got to be this way. And if it's not this way, then there is no presence. Can I tell you what Bill Johnson had to teach out of his church? He had to teach that just because the presence of God is real, shows up in the form of a cloud, shows up in the form of rain, shows up in the form, and we could go on and on. How many people have been in meetings where gold flakes begin coming down and they go, "Oh, that's the evidence of the presence"? No, can I tell you? The presence was there before the gold flakes came. The presence was there before the cloud showed up. The presence was there before the rain began falling. Let me tell you, in this place, we've had times after worship, we've had times after service where somebody has come up and go, "Carl, there's gold flakes. Just want to show you. They just showed me gold flakes that have fallen all over them." Can I tell you, part of the reason why we don't advertise that is because it's like, okay, where's my gold flake? And I'll say this, you better not start looking for a flake, otherwise you're going to be a flake. What Bill Johnson had to teach was, just because Jesus is not with you doesn't mean that he's not with you. Just because he's not here in the flesh does not mean he is not here with you. His promise to the disciples, he goes, I'm leaving, but I will always be with you. Bill Johnson had to say that just because the physical presence of the cloud showed up does not mean that every time we get together, we got to be worshiping, looking for the cloud. And if the cloud doesn't show up, oh, what a downer. This was a less than service. The presence wasn't as real today. He had to go, guys, the presence of God is real continually. If it manifests, that's awesome. But if not, be focused on the fact that in any moment, in any place, the presence of God, you can be aware of it and it can be real for you. I just got to tell you this really clearly. I'm not going to point out any names, but I'll tell you it happened this morning. We entered into worship and there were some of you, in a moment, you crossed the line and you were instantly aware of the presence. You were in the presence of God. You're worshiping. Someone standing right beside you looking around going, when is this flipping music going to be over? And all there was a line in between. Let me ask you a question. Was the presence of God here? It was here before you got here. Did the presence of God show up in the form of a cloud? Didn't have to show up in the form of a cloud. Because the truth is, wherever I walk, the presence is there. The church has swallowed the Kool-Aid that unless it manifests, we haven't had an encounter with the Lord. And so part of the church is looking for the cloud. They're looking for the rain. They're looking for the gold dust. They're looking for the manifestation. There's got to be something that convinces you that the presence of God is there. I believe that those manifestation seekers are some of the most flaky, discrediting to the church that there is out there. I told you this last week. If I had to feel married every moment of my life in order to say I was married, I wouldn't be married. My marriage is a reality, whether I feel it or not. My marriage is a reality, whether Jane and I are flying on the mountaintop or whether we're going through the valley. My marriage is a reality. It is a reality regardless of what I feel. Is there times when our love and our relationship manifest to higher levels? Absolutely, and we plan for those. But is the truth that Jane and I are consistently one spirit? Absolutely. I don't have to feel it. I know it. We said last week, what's more powerful, your feeling or your knowing? I got to tell you honestly, I believe what God is doing in the church today is moving people from the feeling experiential, and I'm going to say this carefully, from the addiction to the Azusa Street manifestation. Azusa Street awakened the Holy Spirit, but it also brought people to a point where you have to feel it in order for it to be real. I believe God is moving it back again to go, it is real because I know it, and every now and then I'll feel it. Does that make sense to you? I want to show you one other thing. Would you turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 13? I want to show you something that I pray will just shift inside of you, a belief system. Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 20, this is when God took the Israelites. They were crossing the Red Sea. Verse 20 says this, after leaving Sukkoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The pillar and the fire were the physical manifestation of God's presence with the people of Israel continually. In fact, let me ask you a question. When did the fire and the cloud disappear from the Israelites? When did it disappear? It began that day. When did it disappear? Say again. The moment they crossed Jordan into the promised land, the pillar and the cloud no longer appeared. How many years was that? 40 years. Let me get that straight. 40 years from this day, the cloud and the pillar of fire showed up. For 40 years, the presence of God, the physical presence, was real for the Israelites. Is there anything not clear about that? Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 32. I want you to see what happened to the people of Israel, even though the presence was real. Chapter 32. You need to get it in context. Moses went up onto Mount Sinai. He went up there to spend time with the Lord while he was gone. Verse 1, it says this, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, let me stop there. The cloud was still present. The fire was still present. The 40 days Moses was on the mountain, the cloud showed up every day. The fire showed up every night. The presence of God was physical in front of the people of Israel. Look at, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off your gold rings that your wives and your sons, your daughters are wearing, bring them to me. So the people took off the earrings, brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him, and he made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioned it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Let me say it. They did it with the cloud there. They did it with the fire shining at night. They did it with the physical presence of God in their midst. Explain that to me. You've heard it said before, there are piles of people in crusades who receive miraculous healings who never receive Christ as Savior. Why is that? Miracles don't necessarily lead to faith. Let me say this too. There are piles of people who walked when Jesus was on earth that did not follow him or believe in him. Let me say this too. There's piles of people in churches who are looking for the cloud. They're looking for the physical manifestation. When it happens, they go, wow, wasn't that awesome? But there is no relationship. They walk out and they go, that was great. But they walk outside and they walk like they're alone. They're not aware of the presence of God. Can I tell you this? It is not the physical presence of God that we need to come to that Jesus was talking about. It is not until we come to a place where we go, I don't need the cloud. I don't need the fire. I don't need the gold dust. I don't need any of that stuff. The presence is here. Wherever I go, the presence is with me, walking with me. I'm going to the bathroom. It's there. I'm driving in my car. It's there. I woke up at 3:30 this morning. It's there. I'm sitting on the tractor. It's there. I'm driving my vehicle down. Doesn't matter. I'm teaching my... It's there. The church is full of people looking for the cloud. And if the cloud's not there, they are totally deceived, going, the presence of God didn't show up. And they walk out going, wasn't that a flat service today? We didn't have a cloud. Isn't that a downer? Can you imagine Bill Johnson having to stand in front of that church, teaching his church and say, we need to repent. We need to stop looking for the cloud. We need to quit getting hooked on the manifestation and becoming so aware of the presence of God with us and in us that doesn't matter where we go, the presence is real. Where God wants to bring us to is we can have an awesome time of worship in here this morning. A pile of you crossed the line you entered in. The presence of God was real for you before you came in. I hear every Sunday where people walk in the back door, they go, wow, as soon as I stepped in the door, the presence of God was so real in this place. Can I tell you, they say that because they're already walking with an awareness of the presence. Where God wants us to get to is the place we talked with Brother Lawrence last week, is that when I walk out of the worship, when I walk out of my devotions, when I walk out of the church, I step outside, I'm going to my car in the parking lot, the presence of God is just, it's thick here too. I go back home and I have my nap on Sunday afternoon. The presence of God is thick with me while I'm having my nap. I get up tomorrow morning and I go to work. The presence of God is thick with me at work. I enter the classroom, university, or school. The presence of God is thick. Where can you go that the presence of God is not? Turn with me to the book of John, one last scripture before we end today. We talked about this last week, but I want you to see it with your eyes because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to set some people free. John chapter 4, Jesus is talking with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Verse 19, verse 17, verse 16. Jesus says, Jesus told her, go call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. She replied, that's all, I have no husband. Did she lie? Nope, she didn't lie. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. She told a half-truth. She told a partial truth. Jesus filled the rest in. Look at what it did to her. Sir, verse 19, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Your fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. You Jews claim you must go to Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. That's where the ark is. That's where the Holy of Holies is. That's where the presence of God is. You Jews say you got to go to Jerusalem. Look at Jesus. He declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Do you know how radical that was to the establishment at that time? That would be like saying to a Catholic, the time is coming and now is when the Vatican no longer is the center of the Catholic Church in Rome. Do you believe in modern day stonings? That's exactly what it would be like. Listen what he says. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation of the Jews. Here it is, verse 23. Yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father. How? In spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. What is he talking about? It is no longer the presence of God in Jerusalem. It is no longer the presence of God at Bethel. It is no longer the presence of God in church. It is no longer the presence of God just in devotions. It is an awareness of the presence wherever you are, because it's in you. Last week I talked about two books. The one of them I wanted to show you today, just to show you that it's real. Craig Hill, Deceived Who Me. If you have not read this book, I challenge you to do it. This book talks about the fact that we as believers are deceived in piles of areas of our life. I had to come to realize that the presence of God was with me all the time. I did not live that way. I was not conscious of it. When I read this book, I recognized there was demonic deception over me. I took authority over that, pulled it back, and all of a sudden came to a place of being aware of the presence of God. When I'm out pulling hay out of the field, when I'm in counseling, it doesn't matter. When I'm speaking in Africa, the presence is there. When I'm at home vacuuming the floor, the presence is there, because the deception has been removed, and all of a sudden I'm aware of the presence with me continually. Let me just say, there is demonic warfare making sure that you are not aware of the presence of God in you and with you. If the enemy can get you and I to believe that we are alone and God is out there somewhere, we become as impotent as the Israelite army against Goliath. And much of the church is today. Spiritual warfare. I challenge you. This will not just touch the area of the presence. This will touch areas in your life where there is deception, deception, deception. We come to a place of pulling it back, taking authority. I'll tell you now, there isn't a morning that I don't begin by taking authority over the spirits of deception, remove them so I can walk with an awareness of the reality of God. That's as far as I want to go today. Next week I will share with you a number of those things that God has used in my life. I'm going to be asking you what God has used in your life in order to bring you to the point of walking in an awareness of the presence of God. We need to learn how to do this. The other book we talked about last week was Practicing the Presence by Brother Lawrence. I challenge you again, grab that book. Any questions on any of that today? Craig Hill. Craig Hill is the author. You guys still have access? Yep. So just talk to Don and Karen. They were coordinators with Ancient Paths for a number of years. They have access to get that from Craig Hill. You're not going to find it. I don't know if you can find it on Amazon, can you? No, you got to get it through the ministry. Yep. So chat with Don and Karen. You can buy it on Kindle? Okay, that's awesome. If you want a hard copy, then you can talk to them. Yep, that was a few years ago. How many of you got the Practicing the Presence? Yeah, we gave out 120 copies. That's great. All 10 of you got it. That's awesome. But if you don't have it, challenge you to get it. Challenge you to get it. All right, would you bow with me in a word of prayer today? Father, thank you again that you are doing a work inside of us and bringing us to a place of living in the reality of your presence with us and in us. I thank you for that word that you told your disciples that even though they watched you leave off the earth, the word was, I will never leave you. Father, that conundrum, thank you that you gave them the faith to believe it and the faith to experience it. That is your heart for every one of us as your children, never to live as orphans, but to live as a son and daughter with your presence with us and in us. I ask, Father, that you would prepare every heart as we talk next week about those things you do in our life to bring us to that awareness. Father, would you just prepare our heart that we would be open to shift, open to change things, open to believe things we've never believed before. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, this is not something we can do. This is something you empower us to do, and then we experience. So we look forward to you doing that in all of our lives. Thank you again for what happened in Jess today. Thank you for the words that were spoken over her. Seal those words, manifest those words in her life. We give you glory because we believe one word from you can change everything, and we believe today everything changed. I declare to you today what you already know. The Lord has blessed you, and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you, and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you, and he has packed you full of his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and everybody believing and receiving said, amen. God bless you.